Well, certainly the government has sought to throw a spanner in the works of this legislation by releasing advice from the Solicitor General, which I think rightly raises some questions about whether this bill breaches the Constitution. What it's focusing in on is Section 53 of the Constitution. It says that the Senate may not amend any proposed law to increase any proposed charge or burden on the people. And here what the Senate has done is it's introduced an amendment which leads to people being appointed to a new body. Those people need to be paid. And so the argument goes that the Senate, in effect, is imposing a burden or charge on the people by forcing money to be paid by the government. And the Solicitor General says that, yes, he does think that is a breach. Now, that's the argument. It's by no means certain, though, that's the conclusion. That's because there's no court cases that resolve this. This is an internal parliamentary matter. And so all we can really say from the perspective of law is that, yes, there's a reasonable argument that there is a breach, but ultimately it's up to Parliament to determine it because it alone has authority to do so.
That's it. So on Run Front, as Christopher Pyne, the leader of government business in the House, said in his speech in that debate, said, listen, this is a principle that stood for some time, and by voting for it, you were effectively overturning all those years of precedent and giving, effectively, in this case at least, the Senate a chance to allocate or appropriate funds, a chamber that is never going to be in a position to form government.
Look, I don't think it's as clear as that, that there has been a precedent. Certainly the House of Representatives has asserted strongly its right to make amendments or introduce charges and the like, but equally the Senate has sometimes taken a different perspective on when that occurs, and there's been fighting between the two houses over many decades about their respective roles. And even if we're talking about precedents, well, there's no court precedents. There's no law as such. It's all about convention, tradition, what Parliament views to be the right answer. So what Parliament may think is the answer at one point, contested as it is, well, it can change. And that's the unusual nature of this part of the Constitution.
And that's the crucial clause there, that they did also, or the Solicitor General did also, say that it was a matter for the House to consider. It was a matter of parliamentary procedure, and that's what we've seen unfold.
Well, we have, and that's it. There is an important point of principle that certainly the government is trying to raise, and that is that the lower house, the House of Representatives, is meant to be the money house, the House of Government. It's where law should be introduced to take money out of the government coffers, to amend laws, to impose charges and the like, and that's not meant to be the Senate's business. It's the prerogative of the lower house. And so we are in that territory here, and it is possible that this will set a new tradition in the convention that perhaps in the future will embolden the Senate to amend legislation or to get more involved in ways that might frustrate the government's control over the money of the day.
What about, I think it was also made comment in the House as well, might well have been Christopher Pyne once more, but who suggested that this is a reckless act because if there are constitutional questions around it, that they could be setting up these people on Manus Island and Nauru for a disappointment in the medium to longer term. Is this the kind of thing that would end up in the High Court?
No, I don't think it will. And that's because the High Court has clearly said that this is a matter for Parliament. And the reason is that Section 53 talks about proposed laws, and that is laws that are debated within Parliament, things that Parliament itself has control over. So the Court has said this is not our business. It's up for Parliament to resolve. So in the end, if Parliament says that it doesn't breach the clause, well, that's the answer, and that you can't go to the High Court to get a different reading. So one way or the other, it will resolve the outcome, and I can't see that this will lead to litigation.
What do you make of the suggestion that this Solicitor General advice was at least within the government's possession, I think at least on the 7th of February, and might well have been sprung on today as a bit of a matter of last resort, if you like, a bit of a surprise act? Is it possible that that advice could have been within the government's possession for that period?
Well, it certainly appears so from when the advice is dated. And look, that is certainly disappointing because there is a real constitutional issue that needs to be discussed. It does relate to the powers of Parliament, and frankly, it would have been much better to have a longer period of public debate and also parliamentary time for discussion of this. But I think really they have tried to throw a spanner in the works and they've left it till late. But in the end, that leaves little opportunity to consider the larger implications of this vote. And it may mean that, Parliament has made a decision, but it's obviously not a very deeply considered decision because there's been no time to do so.
Mightn't be your area of expertise, George, but what do you also make of this historic event, effectively with the government losing that vote on the floor of the House of Representatives, admittedly by just one vote, but that's all they need, something that hasn't happened in Australia for about 90 years. It does, I guess, demonstrate, in this matter alone, a lack of confidence in the sitting government.
Well, and Of course, you've got to use those words lack of confidence carefully, because if it truly was a lack of confidence in one of those votes, the government wouldn't be a government anymore. It'd have to immediately resign. But I'm sure the government won't treat this as a confidence vote. It will say that this is just an unfortunate, inconvenient loss on the floor, and I think it has merit in saying that, that it won't force it to resign. Though, of course, it has put itself in a tricky position on that, and it may face some calls to resign, and that's because traditionally you do count as a confidence vote if the government loses a vote on a money bill, a budget or something like that. And, of course, here the government is saying it's a money bill. They're saying that this is about appropriating revenue, it's in charges and burdens. So if the government was right, the loss of this vote actually would mean that it would be in real difficulty. It would have lost confidence. But presumably the House has actually said, well, we don't think it's a money bill, the government's wrong, so in that case, in fact, there's no loss of confidence. So it's a really convoluted mess that certainly does not leave the government in a happy position.